Blog Talk Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes you should heal, you can take a break. From a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way.
Can't talk, you'll be feeling in for me now, won't you, girlfriend?
Well, you have some throat lozenges with you? Because
yes,
we certainly wouldn't want you to lose your voice now.
Well, I tried to scream, but I thought about screaming because I always feel like screaming when you're on the show. But I figured if I did that, I'd go into a coughing fit, and that's not what you want to hear. But I do want to introduce you properly because I want to tell everybody that Susan Z is a famous author. She's a great Akashic medium. Very rare. She absolutely rocks every gift you can think of. She's also a psychic, an intuitive, a medium, an Akashic medium. She is the author of one of my fave books. Of course, I downloaded it to her, although she will never admit that. Well, I did get her to admit it for a while. But the book is called Soul Windows. I was just coughing back a cough. Soul Windows, Secrets from the Divine by the Susan Z. Of course, my name wasn't on it, but it is a fabulous book. It's one I've used in my practice if everybody knows who I am, which I didn't announce myself today. But both Susan and I rock so many titles that I felt like if I told you all in the show that I haven't put on for a week and a half that you would all get bored. So I've used this in my practice. I use it in my intuitive practice. It's just a fabulous book. It's on Amazon. It is so inexpensive, but you will read it more than once. It is about life. I say it's about hormonal, emotional life, but Susan wrote it, of course, in the spiritual sense. So it is really about windows that open up at different parts of your existence on Earth. And I love it. So, Susan, we are going to talk about
it.
It's so fabulous. I just can't even tell you. Reading that book, my husband read it, and he is a surgeon, and he said it correlates exactly with the hormonal phases that we have here. So it is really cool that I could use it in both practice, Eastern, Western, which is spiritual and earth plane material. And I love that. And so if anybody wants to get it.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wrote it. Is it because,
or I channeled it.
I mean, everybody thought that, you know, you have to make a choice, one or the other, in terms of how do we get accountable? How do we get healthy and whole? Do we go the spiritual, all the metaphysical woo-woo, you know, energetic shifts and cleansing and everything? Or do we go see a psychologist that explains what you're thinking and, you know, why you feel the way that you do? It's a combination of both. You have to address both of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, I think we went over the book, but there is a couple soul windows I think is super cool. I just can't even, you know, tell you how much I love the book. And we were going to go over each soul window. I think basically we went over them real quick the first time you were back on the show. But the two ones that I would love to get involved with, well, you want to talk about the wrinkle one. And I want to talk about the cry on return one, because that's where I think everybody in the world ends up anyway, except me, because I always go to the second soul window. But you're in the first.
You know, it's midlife crisis, I mean, which, you know, it's that dreaded, you know, the bald-headed guy in the Corvette with a 23-year-old that just left his devoted wife kind of thing.
Well, I'm going to take the other end of it, because I have the sis that did the opposite. She was the bald-headed guy.
No, you're stuck in the second soul window when the 15-year-old realizes that, oh my God, I've got a life and it's mine, all mine.
Yep, I love that. I'm going to stay there, Susan, until I coast on home. But I know you wanted to talk about the fourth soul window, wasn't it, that you said the fourth soul window about your wrinkles? Of course, so I don't have to talk about the fourth soul window. But first tell everybody how to find you and what you do and how to get a hold of you.
Absolutely. Well, you can go to my website, which is szrwhitewings.com, or just Google Susan Z. Rich, and my website will come up. You can email me at szrich@aol.com. I do readings. I also do emotional addiction counseling. I offer hypnotherapy tapes. And you can also see where you can find my book on Amazon.com, Soul Windows, Secrets from the Divine. I also sell naturopathic equipment, detox foot baths, Rife healing frequency chairs, something that I got into, White Wings Foundation is the name of my website, or White Wings. And it is a nonprofit, and one of the reasons that I did create the whole thing, and even with the kind of readings that I do and actually wrote the book, is that because I had stage 4 breast cancer, maybe 18 years ago, and healed it naturally, no chemo, no surgery, and felt that I had a message to share with others, both alternative, spiritually, psychologically, that connect us spiritually with our body. So I do a lot of things, and if you go to my website, you can see that. And I'm available for, like I said, I'm available. Bleh, that's my throat lozenge. I'm available for reach, and you can also see that on my website.
Well, you know what, Susan? I know we said about getting into the book, but spirit's hitting me on the head here. And really what I want to talk about, and we can get into your book all kinds of times, but I would love for everybody, because I'm just so enthralled that you're an Akashic medium. I know mediums of all kinds, and everybody, you know, rocks a different way they, you know, bring through spirit, or that they communicate or connect to spirit. But you have a very rare talent, and I'm so happy that you're here with us, and we'll share that talent in any way you can. But tell everybody, because I don't think anybody really knows what an Akashic medium is, and how you came to know that you were one.
Well, first of all, we're going
hard
to to disagree right off the bat, because I call it Akashic, and she says potatoes, potatoes. Okay,
that's right.
Calls it Akashic, right? And Akashic medium is
Akashic.
Not a particularly common medium or reader. And basically, what happens is that it started when I was doing past life hypnotherapy tapes for people. I would do past life regressions, and we would tape them, and I would go through this process, and all of a sudden I realized that I didn't need to do that. And not only was there past lives being completely revealed to me in a blink, like kind of a movie screen reel, but also that I was taken to in a flash, like a room where I could see this book with all this writing, which I cannot read, by the way.
I gotta
call you on that one, honey. It's really strange writing. And what I realized, what I was looking at, is I was looking at their Akashic soul record. What literally lifetime after lifetime after lifetime that their soul had wrote to reincarnate. And they had given me permission to open that up and explain why they're here, what they want to accomplish, what they brought in with them, what the higher self is trying to have the soul experience, because that's what this life is about, is for the soul to experience. And through that experience, the divine experiences it also. So it's a co-connection, and it was an amazing awareness. I went, wow, that I can do this. And this is when I was doing hypnotherapy. And then what I began to realize is that same gift started flowing over into my readings. The information would flash in front of me and start flowing through me. And then what happened is that I started getting asked particularly, I mean, point out, it's like, can you open my Akashic records? And can you tell me, because the famous reading question for anybody on the spiritual path is, wait for it, what am I here for?
Yeah.
How many times? Yeah. I don't know. How many times did we hear that? What am I here for? Of course, my pat answer is to experience love. Well, you know, that's usually not very satisfying to someone that's in the middle of a life crisis.
Yeah.
So, it began to also unfold visually, because I'm a very visual person. And what happened is that I was given the direct answers to ask, and what those answers do is that they resonate the chips that are planted in your body. Because if you ask someone, you know, what is it that you like about yourself the most? Literally, I can feel the chips vibrate into whether there is self-hatred there, whether there's negativity, whether there is fear, what they brought in, because liking oneself is the equivalent of being in love with oneself. And that carries the major imprint of what we're here for. So these questions would vibrate these chips and release these visual pictures and information to me, and let me know the tools that you came in here with to create what you wanted, and the foundations of basically of what this life is about, what you wrote it for. So it's been an ongoing process, and
Susan, I got to ask you a question. You know, you know, I would love, I could so get into this for hours, but I got to ask you a question. What do you think, like, when you come here, and do you feel that you always accomplish the missions you came for? And if you don't, what do you think happens?
Oh, I think we absolutely don't accomplish, I think it's rare that we accomplish the full mission that we acquired. I mean, I imagine sometimes we do. It just all depends on how much the soul takes on, because when we are in what I call the white room and the veil has lifted and we see that, oh my God, you know, I died with my children hating me. I made so many mistakes. I was so selfish. I was blah, 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 whatever. And it's like, I would like to rectify how I am to understand what parenting from the heart feels like versus a parenting from control, that I own this being. So you choose and you say, oh, well, this time I'm going to be the child of a tyrant, and that, you know, I'm going to be abandoned and not have a home, and, you know, and you take and our higher selves, our guides are going, are you sure you really want to take all this on? Wayne Dyer is a perfect example. Bless his heart, he just passed on. I mean, he had a horrible childhood, and he overcame that to teach everyone about self-love. But sometimes I think we address some of it, and then some of it's just maybe too powerful for one lifetime to do, and we do like an adjustment. So maybe when we pass over, which we also get healing, we go in the healing room, and sometimes we get it in the white room, where we go, oh my God, yeah, I missed it. I so see it. And it's like, I can do it this time. And if you don't, I believe that you make the commitment to come back and try it again. But I don't believe that it's ever within the same context. It would be like, say, in owning someone, all right? The one lifetime you would be a master, the other lifetime you would be a slave. The other time you would be an activist. Another time you would be the leader of a country that suppressed, and then beating the suppressed. So, you know, what they say about karma is that, you know, you get what you give. I don't really believe that, you know, you pay for, like, I murdered you, now you get to murder me, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
I think it's
right.
The experience that the soul needs to know. It's like, well, if I murdered somebody, then I need to experience what that's like in order to understand that that this was an act of total not loving another human being and myself.
Absolutely, I agree with you. I, you know what I always wonder, and I'm so glad we're talking about this. Like, join me on the sofa, Susan. I always say, well, all these people like Attila the Hun and all the people that have killed many, 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 many people, I don't know that they come back right away as a person anyway. I think maybe they're going to be a cockroach for about 50,000 years. So people can just step on them and squish them. So that's really where I go with that kind of stuff. So,
I think that smacks of a little bit of leftover Holocaust judgment there. But
yes.
we'll go with it, honey. We'll go with it.
Well, I know in a few decades, I mean, know in a few lifetimes I might change. But the thing is that what I also would love to, you know, talk about before we're going to get to the phone lines because we have a lot of callers. But the other thing is, so when you pass and you go home, as we all say, what do you think the beginning is? Are you met by your loved ones? Do you go into the healing room before you go into the white room, before you go into the room to meet your makers? I mean, where do you feel, since you go into the Akashic Record room, where do you see our lives once we cross over?
Well, you know, I think it's a combination of, I don't think there's any tried and true rule. And since I am going by instinct and gut feeling on this, because there is no one that really knows what happens to us. I, even the people that have said they have crossed over, they all have similar stories, but they're all different in terms of what their own experience is. I believe whatever it is that as you make your transition is what you carry over with you. If you died in a peaceful environment and your family's waiting for you, and then they're calling you. And in fact, I just saw something on AOL about that they're doing this. The woman wrote that she was doing death research and she stayed with her grandmother during her passing, and had read a lot about it, and she said that right before, and this is when the soul, the egg, is completely uncocooned, when almost there's no threads there, they begin to have dialogue with those that have passed over and reach out and are animated. And I believe that they are being called home, that they can, the people that they care about are there waiting for me. And then there's others that are taken out of the body suddenly and don't even realize that they're dead. I mean, like instantaneous death. And then I believe that they're guided talked to and made to realize that, oh my God, you know, what, I'm dead? And it's like, yes, yes, you are, you know. And so I think it's and then those that die in great pain, I believe that they are taken to the white room, the healing room, and so that the emotional imprint of that physical pain can be released. Many times the people that have passed over, when they say he died of cancer, he was in so much pain, he was in a wheelchair or whatever, and then they get messages from them from the other side. They say, oh, I'm wonderful, I have a body of a 40-year-old, I'm dancing every day, this is great, you know. So I think that, you know, they're freed from the physical and emotional, I mean, the emotional imprint of that physical pain that they died in. So I think every situation is different. There's just so many options. But the one thing is to ready them and free will to make a choice. It's like, are you going to stay a while in the other side for a while and assist those that are here, or take a vacation or rest or whatever? Or are you going to go right, you know, hit it right back in and say, hey, I'm ready for another round. I loved it.
That's what I do, and you're coming with me. So, okay, are you ready to take our first caller?
Yeah,
we never did
get to our soul window, you know, again.
I guess you'll just have to be on the show a little more than once a week. Okay, so I'm going to go to 219. 219, you are on. And let me tell you, Susan, with the way that, you know, depending on how well I can speak, we might be just talking about soul windows if I start to cough. So let's take a few people while I'm still medicated and see what happens. Everyone, I just want you to all know, thank you for coming back. I have had the flu for the last week, and I have not been even able to talk until today. So I do want to thank everybody for bearing with me and all the guests that I've had to put off. And we have some great guests coming up. I've just put them back to back. And even though Susan is more of a co-host than a guest, although she'd like to call herself a guest, she's here every Monday, and I'm trying to get her back more. So we are going to go to the caller, 219. And Susan, we are going to talk about soul windows, because I think every time you're on, we should just take a soul window, maybe working backwards instead of forwards.
We could do that. We could work backwards and step forwards. I mean, it really probably doesn't make any difference.
You know why? I'm thinking of that movie. Remember, he starts out old and then gets young. You remember with Brad Pitt? Oh, he was so cute. I keep my movie guide showing it to me now. So 219, you are on with the fabulous Susan. Hi.
Hello, ladies. I'm glad you're feeling better, Barbara.
Oh, thank you. It's Bonnie, but you know, hey.
Oh, Bonnie, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Who are we speaking to?
She was sick. I mean, sick.
Yes. I'm barely able to talk, but the good news is I'm trying, right? So who am I speaking with? And sometimes I'm a little short, so you got to just bear with me. Who am I speaking with today?
Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. I am going to hand you right over to the fabulous Susan Z, although you know I won't shut up for long. Susan, this is Elizabeth. Elizabeth, this is Susan.
Hi, Elizabeth. How would you call in for today?
One of those questions, life purpose. Why am I here?
Okay, so...
Have you
there
ever?
You go. See, there it is. We went waiting for it. Okay.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Susan. Before, did you ever have your Akashic records opened by Susan?
No.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. All righty. Well, life purpose. Basically, I mean, my pat answer for life purpose is to discover falling in love with ourselves. That's really what our life purpose
Everybody's
is about.
Life purpose,
but
right.
That's it. I mean, this is a virtual reality game of let's see how we can fall in love, love ourselves as much as our creator loves us. But the Akashic Records is what you've designed in terms of from the beginning of when you have forgotten that and how you are trying to remember that. So the first thing that I probably would ask you would be your age.
47.
47?
Yes. What soul window is she in, Susan?
Oh, honey, you know what soul window she's shooting. Actually, she's coming. She just came out of her fifth soul window, which is that we feel our mortality. We begin to realize that, oh, my God, life is not going to go on forever. And you're moving into what they call the sixth soul window, which is you're just in the beginning, the tail. I mean, you've got your toe in the water. It's called cryon return. It's when the dreaming soul is fully awakened and the higher self is connected and life coaching, and you redo, reset, rethink, clean out. You're moving into what they call the 50-year cycle. And you're just at the beginning of it, so you're kind of feeling the rumblings of it, but not the full impact. It starts literally in your about 48th, 49th living year, and that's where you are right now. You're in your 48th living year, and so those rumblings are the little doubts, the little frustrations, like a burr under your saddle, you know, like what, you know, things that didn't irritate you before really piss you off.
Yeah.
you find things that coming out of your mouth that you never thought, or thoughts popping into your head that you never would have thought of before. But the big thing, which I find most interesting about this particular soul window that you're moving into, is that especially for spiritual workers, light seekers, is that they usually are people of service. And they're very giving, very loving, very caring, and often carry martyr imprints. And when you hit this soul window, all of a sudden the question comes, hey, wait a minute. What about me?
Yes.
I mean, when do I start coming first? And it shocks the hell out of you when all of a sudden you realize, all this time I've been helping everybody, raise my kids, raise my husband. Sorry, I'm divorced. And it's like,
I don't raise my husband, and I'm not. So
And you go, when is it my turn? And that's kind of where you are right now. So let me ask you what you do for a career and on what you have done in the past also.
Currently nothing right now. I'm going for my master's in psychology, and what I've done before in the past, a jack of all trades.
I'm sorry, what was that?
But no, currently I am nothing right now. I'm just going for my master's in psychology, but in the past what I've done is basically everything, a jack of all trades, office work, factory work.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So how long have you been a psychologist?
No, I'm studying for my master's.
Years. Oh, you've never been a practicing psychologist yet?
No.
Okay.
Do you have a bachelor's degree? You'd have to if you're going for your master's.
I have a bachelor's, yes.
Okay.
Are you looking to teach it instead of practice it?
Yes, more along that line, yes.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought. Okay. Okay. All right. And what do you consider your gifts? I mean, think that that you have to share with others.
That listener. Quick-witted. Stubborn.
Your connection is like, your connection is really like muffled. Bonnie, can you hear her okay?
But I think she's not. What are your best attributes? What do you like about yourself?
No. That's not what I asked.
What
do you consider your gifts?
Do you consider your gifts?
A good listener.
A good listener.
I'm compassionate. Compassionate.
Compassionate.
Okay.
stubborn. I always come back to that one, being stubborn.
Strength. Is that a gift?
Consider that.
Strength.
Okay.
That's why I said that. Yeah. You know, now you
okay.
can see why I'm sick. But go ahead. Because usually I would have not said that, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, fortunately, I'm not reading your Akashic Records. Now, what do you like about yourself the most?
That I'm able to bounce back on my feet quickly. That I can learn things quickly. That I'm
resilient.
Yeah,
that's great quality.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm able. I'm trying to forward it right. I'm able to.
This is always the hardest question.
Not for me. I could tell you a million things of what I love about
myself. I don't judge people.
No judge?
Non-judgmental.
I don't judge
yeah.
people, no.
Okay. All right. It's an interesting one, your book wrote up. Open. I don't, like I said, I can't read the writing, but I get pictures of the illusions, okay? Pictures of the journey. So the tools, okay, that which is the top of the information, what they're showing me basically is a magician's wand. Okay, it's actually fairly interesting. It's kind of a combination between a Halloween magician's wand with a little star on it and things, and then down towards the end of it, it has all this intricate dialogue written on it that are secret encodings from the secrets of life. Okay, all right. That's your tools. All right, your foundation here. Okay, is once again, is once again they're showing me a wizard. All right, you have a really interesting book here. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Yeah, it's really interesting. Actually, I've never seen one like this before. First of all, your tools. Okay, some of the things that you're now. You said you're going for a master of psychology because you want to be a teacher. Okay, your tools. All right. Are basically not so much about what you are teaching life, but what life is teaching you, okay? Because you have lived so many lives of illusions, okay, where you did not understand humanity, and you still don't, okay? It's not it's not because you are from another planet or anything like that, okay? It is because you have lived so many lives in the mystical, okay? And I don't know whether you have a fascination with mysticism or magic or that type of thing, but it's imprinted all over you. Okay, and don't touch me.
Come on over.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was about four of them. That was about four of them.
Right. I got it.
Okay, and so the wand, all right, represents the illusion that you still have about humanity, which is why you're so jack of all trades. Now you're going into the psychology because your soul has made up the mind that if I can figure out how humans think, then maybe I can understand who they are. And but what you're really trying to find out is that what makes their heart tick, and you're going through the mind, okay? Yes. The secret dialogue, okay, is the spiritual keys that are going to open up for you after you hit your 50th year, all right? And your 50th year, what's going to happen is that all your psychology teaching is basically going to be crap. It's going to go right out the window. You're going to still do it. Don't worry. I mean, that's, you know, you're going to still be all of those things, because that's going to be how you're going to understand that we are spiritual beings having a human experience versus a human having a spiritual experience. Okay? Right? So okay. It's very, very interesting that you chose, and the reason that you chose this, okay, through the mind, is it because the wizard, the foundation, is it because you have been elemental for so many lifetimes and involved in mysticism and magic and and the ability to, oh, come on, please. Somebody smart ass in the spirit says, yeah, change water into wine, yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's a smart ass spirit, you know. You were so in love with that energy, because it was our true nature. I mean, like in the Matrix, you know, when all of a sudden he saw that we were computer generated and versus a real human being. Well, it's basically you had the ability that I don't know whether anybody. I'm a Hobbit fan, a big Hobbit fan. And Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
and basically, when he put on the ring, he was able to distinguish between, he only saw things in darkness and light. Their forms. He could no longer see the actual corporeal image of it, because he was in that dimension. Well, that's kind of, if you would imagine, that's the lives that you were living, is that you had the ring on most of the time, and to you everyone was light or dark,
yes,
and star filled, or and you lost the ability to be joyful about the human experience. You
mm-hmm.
just wanted to go back home. You wanted, it was like humanity was too cruel for you, too,
mm-hmm.
You didn't understand, like, there's my spirit with the movies again, a movie
mm-hmm.
from Contact, the movie Contact,
yes.
when
mm-hmm.
she meets Dean, he says, you are such a beautiful species capable of such kindness and such cruelty and
mm-hmm.
violence. And you spent so many lifetimes on the outside of humanity as an observer that it became so painful to you that you didn't understand that the soul was creating this experience, that none of it was real. It's a virtual reality game, and it became too painful for you to do this. All you wanted to do was go home. And it defeated the purpose of your whole journey. So,
mm-hmm.
in this lifetime, you still carry all those wizard imprints, all right, which are going to awaken for you in the 50s, that as you move more and more into this mind psychology type of thing,
mm-hmm.
you're probably going to be able to read minds, all right, and more than likely be able to see behind the mask, which is going to make you an excellent teacher of psychology.
Oh, that's wonderful. You must have read me. I mean, did you say you were reading my Akashic records?
No, darling, I wasn't.
Well, I want to be the wizard. I am the magical person.
I don't see any. I don't see any wizard stick on your imprint. Sorry.
Oh, I want that stick. That's that my fairy wand. I need it back.
Yeah, having said all of that to you, how do you feel about what it is I've just said to you?
Basically, you're dead right. Basically, that's how I see.
I don't like that word, dead right. You're absolutely right. I have a feeling.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Bonnie uses that word all the time.
Yeah.
I could just die.
Yes. I love the word, so you can say that anytime to me. But Susan's going to have a little bit of a. That's because
it doesn't matter where she is.
I'm going to pull her back anyway.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're dead right. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I felt, if you would have said that I was off the mark, I probably would have called you a liar. I would have called you, and I would have said,
you
are living the illusion.
Right. That is
but yeah, it was so strong. I mean, they were like, I mean, literally, if I was, like, I've never read an Akashic record like this where they literally lit the way for me. As I was walking through your book.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to tell you, Elizabeth, I don't care if you call me Benny or Bonnie or whatever you called me. I want that wand, and I'm coming after it. And I'm a good soul, so I won't steal it from you, but
really
I do
cool.
want it.
I mean, it is. It's really cool. The top part is the illusion.
I need it.
The magic, you know, with the sparklies that you buy on Halloween. But the bottom part is like a Gandalf wood with all the markings. I mean, it's the authentic you.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And those markings are the key. And when you get into your 50th year, okay, and move into your 50s and 60s, those markings will be what unlocks in you some of the gifts that you have set. Okay, well, I'm not going to get in. You basically folded your arms in the white room when you wrote your incarnation set. I'm not giving them all up. That's it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and you said, okay, well, when you get older, when you get wiser, and you go, okay, well, I want that one, and that one. And they went, all right, okay, we'll do that.
Well, I think that, yeah, excuse me, everyone. I am going to have to move on because we've got so many people, but I do want you to know that along with all these magic properties that you have, you've got a lot of spirit making sure that you actually...
Oh, you've got a lot of guidance.
They're going to guide you right to what Susan just told you and beyond. I'm seeing that, you know, the Toy Story... Go ahead, send your movie guide. I got a song guide, but the Toy Story scene is coming through. So, and the line is, they just showed me the song.
Are you going to make it, honey?
Oh,
you got the cough drop?
I am. It's something and beyond. Whatever that line is, that's where you're going. And you've got a lot of spirit just holding your hand. So you have a great future and... Good luck, and we hope that you listen.
Thank you. I will.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you for allowing me for your Akashic. Oh, that it was so much fun opening your Akashic record. I mean, really. I love wizards. I love all of that. And it was like I was watching a Hobbit movie. I'm sorry. It's like
oh,
I just
honey.
Went, oh, my God.
It was so fun. It was so fun, Susan. I can't even tell you how much fun it was for me to hear you and for me to see that wand and wanting to pull it out of her hands up there, and I just didn't, so I'm doing well today. You know, it's my little self having to be self-control, but I just loved seeing that scene. It was like I was in awestruck with you. So I'm going to go to the next caller. I hope you're ready. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Susan, are you ready? Do you need a cough drop? Do you need a cough drop?
I have one in my mouth.
Me too. Oh, God, we're both. Oh, my goodness. Right? Everyone, I hope nobody gets the flu from listening to us. But 713, you are on with Susan. Hi.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Hi, who
great.
Are we speaking to today?
This is Tracy. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Tracy.
We're doing fine.
We are doing fabulous. I'm going to hand you, I'm handing you right over to Susan because I will start coughing in 2 seconds. So, Susan, this is Tracy. Tracy, this is Susan.
Tracy, what'd you call in for today? What can we help you with?
Well, I have heard you are just fabulous at unveiling cosmic truths about people, and I was curious what you could unveil about myself.
Okay. So basically, you are asking that you would like to have your Akashic record open?
Absolutely. That would be fabulous.
Okay. All right. Have you ever had it done before?
I'm a very highly spiritual person. I'm not going to lie to you. I might even slightly be a spiritual professional of some sort, but I am constantly in the learning process and love to hear the value and opinion of others. And I'm definitely going through
it. It never stops.
A huge awakening period for me in the last several years. So so I'll hand you over to me.
Okay.
I mean, hand all myself right. over well, to you. You know what I mean.
Thank you. In other words, you're giving me permission.
Absolutely.
Okay. May I have your age?
Yes, I just turned 36 yesterday.
Okay, 36. Well, you're kind of in an interesting year. Actually, you're in the soul window of what we were going to talk about, and before Bonnie got off on her stint. basically it's what they call the fourth soul window, and it's what I call in my book, oh my God, I found a wrinkle. And that 36.
Of course, that would never happen to me, so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, of course
one.
Not. No. we begin to realize that we let go of young girl illusions, and we start embracing, getting rewired to become more mature about our decisions in life. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean personality wise, and we'll use Bonnie as an example. But it does mean that we look at the journey. Otherwise, my favorite saying always is that we'd be looking at grandmothers walking around with their Barbie dolls. So our chips begin to kick in. We begin to become rewired. And this is also during the time when nesting starts taking hold. We start thinking about, you know, wow, you know, it's like, what kind of, am I happy in my career? Do I want to get married? Do I want children? Do I want to live in this place? You know, what do I want to do when I get older? You start looking at your parents and going, oh, my God, I thought I was never going to get old, but I'm going to look like them one day. So, you know, I mean, it just all hits it. And when we're in our 20s, no one believes they never think about getting older. Never. Never speak to anybody in their 20s or their teens, and they will talk to you about retirement. I mean, life is going to go on 25.
Right.
So this is where you are right now, and what I want to ask you is, what do you do for a career, and what have you now and in the past?
Okay. I spent 15 years in the fitness industry, and as a weight loss coach, I've worked with severely obese women and helped many of them to lose up to in the largest case, I guess, like 130 pounds. Many cases,
30
even
pounds
had a couple
overweight right now. So you know, I didn't know that, but I just gained 30 pounds because my son's a chef. So you're going to have to do something about that. But go ahead, continue.
I started off in the weight loss fitness industry, and I spent a little time providing athletic assistance to professional athletes and high school and college athletes after that. I was actually a teacher for 2 years and went through a divorce and owned a limousine business that was extremely successful for 2 years. After the divorce, I actually had a crazy spiritual awakening, and now I am actually a medical intuitive healer.
Okay. So you got touched, huh?
I sure have been.
All right. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, and what do you consider your gifts?
My largest gift is the ability to use my hands and my spirit and my guides to heal others, and it's been magical. It truly has.
Okay. And what is it that you like the most about yourself?
Honestly, the thing that I like standing here today or like over the course of my entire life?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you mean like as I stand today or something that's been there my entire life because it's changed a lot?
What is it that, now I'm going to ask you a question again and then don't ask me a question back. What
okay.
is it that you like about yourself?
I like that I've become extremely empathic and compassionate and kind and non-judgmental, and that I truly try to understand the position and pain of others as opposed to jumping to conclusion and making it all about me.
Okay. Okie dokie. We've got some interesting guests today here.
I was just
going to
say that, but go ahead.
Yeah, we have some interesting guests. Okay, the first thing that comes up, all right, as a tool for you, all right, is basically,
it's okay. I know I'm weird.
Yeah, no. Like I said,
yeah,
I can't read right.
With that.
So
yeah.
I have to figure out what it is that they're trying to show me, and this is not pretty. So I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to say this. All right, your tool. All right, basically they are showing me someone that has stumps for hands and their bottom of their legs are off. Okay, they're bandaged, all right? Their hands and bandaged between the knees. That's what's showing the tools, okay? So we'll explain that, all right? But that's why I hesitated a moment because I can only tell you what it is that I see, and then they're going to tell me why it is that they're showing me this
okay.
that particular picture. Okay, the foundation... Okay, is what I'm seeing here is there are what they call, I guess, they look like lightning bolts is what they look like zigzag lightning bolts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that's the foundation that you, that is the foundation of your journey. All right, and so, all right, now I'm going, now they give me the interpretation. Thank you. All right, the tools, I believe, in the stumps, okay, that limbs are missing is one of the reasons why you have chosen the careers that you have chosen is to make people physically whole, okay, to feel good about themselves. Weight loss is one of them, to make them feel physically whole. Training, even a teacher. To make them feel educationally whole. The lightning bolts and the path that you chose to be a medical intuitive, okay, and to be a hands-on healer, all right, all of that is to make it to help people feel physically whole, okay, connected. You started out in plain physical level. Okay, not a little spiritual because you realized that this was a God vehicle. You were very well aware of that, and you wanted everyone to respect their God vehicle, and so that was your way. But these lightning bolts that I'm seeing, these are I've never seen anything like this before. I can't even explain it. I'm calling them lightning bolts, but they don't. They look like literally like caveman Martian glowing barbecue prongs.
Makes perfect sense.
And I think what I'm looking at is a writing, is a symbol of a writing from someplace, because that's the only way I can describe it. And that's the foundation that you brought in with you, the purpose of what it is that you're using the tools for, the whole medical intuitive, the hands-on healing, the weight loss, the physical therapy, whatever, you know, all of, and then the agreement that you made is that you said you had a spiritual moment. Well, basically you got smacked with one of those spears, okay? That's pretty much, and that's what the foundation is that because you came in in this life
to make a physical and spiritual beating.
No, well, yeah, we all know that dark side is, so I'm going through one of them right now myself. It's like, but you really, when that kind of awakening happens, it's like you are snap out of it, smacked. I mean, because you are literally popped into another dimension and become another you. That old
right.
you is gone, and the new you has awakened. All right, and you and these particular spheres basically represent the whole purpose of your life journey. Is you've spent many, many lives where human life was of no value, okay, that was discarded. And this is also in other planets, too. This
right.
is not just this planet, okay?
Absolutely.
Where, I mean, and when I say other planets in human, not their life, human lives, that taking human lives and taking them to their planets and using them for experiments. You have been part of all of that. Okay?
I know. Oh,
and
I love that.
When
it's
you decided to incarnate in this life, it's like you wanted to teach and connect people spiritually to their body to make them understand that it was a God creation. That it is an amazing thinking, feeling, experience, and that everything in that body is precious. Everything. And it's kind of making right what you callously looked at us like ant farms. Okay, and recognizing that this body is an incredible creation, incredible. I mean, to blow life into an animated being, and all life on all planets is like that. But in where you're originally from, we are not as advanced as you. So we were kind of ant farms, you know. And so in this life, you made the choice that said, I want to make this right. I want to be part of the ant farm and bring my remembrance and my experience into teaching people through my hands, through gifted abilities, because where you're originally from, there is no illness, okay? You have the ability to assemble and disassemble yourselves at will, okay? But you haven't been there in a long time, but those
right.
imprints are still there, okay? And for whatever reason, when the past lives that you have been on Earth have been disassembling bodies for some reason, literally, I mean, very callously, mass murdering army, you know, that kind of thing. So finally you awaken to like, oh my God, okay, here we go, movie again. The last Hobbit movie, the Five Armies, Steve's got me on the harbor. When the Elf King walks around, looks and sees all his army, his soldiers dead on the ground, and the loss of life. He awakened and went, enough.
I remember.
We're no more. Okay, so this is what you're doing in this life, it is not an attribution. Okay, it is basically what it is that you are teaching the unawakened soul, and that's what we're trying to do is wake up, is that this is a God creation, and to make that connection. And that's what you're doing with being a medical intuitive, hands-on healer, being an empathic is about, all of that.
Wow. A lot of that I knew, but I've never shared it with anybody before. I don't know if it's
It with the world.
Yes, that's quite all right. I do have one question for you. I have memories from what I believe to be my first human life of being buried alive as a kid, and I believe that it was done by some type of dark alchemy group. Are you picking up anything on that? Because I would like to kind of put that to rest as well. That's kind of one of the more disturbing things I remember.
What? Say that again about the kid.
So I remember what I believe to be my first life here on Earth, my first human life. I believe. Well, I do, not I believe, but I remember being buried alive. And I believe that it was by some type of dark alchemy group, but I would like to have some type of validation or verification, or because I've never really shared that with anyone either.
Yeah, the first thing that I'm seeing here is that it was a combination of several things. One was being thrown into a pit, okay, and the other one has to do with an avalanche. I mean, with a volcano explosion. Basically you literally watched the mountain and the lava move forward to you. I'm seeing two experiences of that. And part of it, and I think the explosion has to do with Atlantis. That's how far back you go. Is that?
That's what I thought.
You literally were forewarned. You keep on messing with these energies, you're going to blow us up. And as you were being watching it come toward forward, you owned it. You said, I did this. And what you realized is that you were killing millions of people.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, this is, I don't know if you'd be willing to hear more of my story of what's happened during this lifetime. It would take another entire hour if I told you all of it. I know it's not for right now.
Yeah.
But,
We're so happy to share this.
Yes, I mean it's like it's really interesting everyone that's calling in because there's such the one thing that I want to share with all our listeners is that right now we are in Aquarius energy, okay, which is the highest vibrations that we've ever been in on Earth, all right, and we have more like seekers incarnated on Earth ever in the history of humanity, because we are truly in a struggle between dark and light right now.
Right.
And always remember that, you know, that it can be no dark without light. And it's correct. Like darkness is just the absence of light. That's
correct.
All it
yeah.
is.
That's
well,
I've said that
right,
many
times. Yes. So I find it interesting that, the two readings that I've had today have to do with the education of humanity versus am I going to get a new car?
Yeah. Well, I've got to tell you, I met Tracy a few days ago. Maybe it was how long
Sorry.
Ago was it? Yeah, we met on Skype and I so excuse me, I so badly wanted to put her on because I knew something really wonderful would be seen for her through you. So I had said to Tracy, you have to call in and find out from Susan. I do want everybody to know that I don't know Tracy. People think I put my friends on. And yes, they all become my friends. Everybody becomes my friends, but I don't know Tracy. So this is just somebody who I've just met.
Well, I think you'd be making a serious mistake if you put your enemies on there.
But you know what? She will be my friend. She is my friend. So I do want everybody to know whoever comes on is my friend. But, I've been told that I put on my friends too much, and which is not true. But everybody is my friend. So I want everybody to know that Tracy does not know Susan. She just came and got this reading. And I knew this would be a pretty special thing for you, Tracy. So I am so glad that we were able to get you in. And I'd love
swear,
to hear more.
We swear it's not rehearsed. We swear.
No, this is, I called in and I was listening to the show live and I was even thinking, does Bonnie, she's going to put me through or not. So, no, this is completely not
nobody knew either. Nobody knew, and I don't. And to just let you know, everybody's random. So, I do want everybody to know. I did tell Tracy I would take her though. So I don't want anybody to think, oh well, I just picked up Tracy. Yes, I did. I told her to call in, but Susan doesn't know her, and I knew that there would be something special for you, and that's why I asked you to call in. So I hope you've enjoyed this call, and you're always welcome to call back in. Susan's on every Monday, and maybe I'll be able to participate because with this cough, I just don't know how far I can get. There's so many things I wanted to say, even with the last caller, but I'm afraid if I get started, forget it. I might just start losing I'm really straining to not cough.
I know. I'm just wondering how much longer your voice is going to be able to make it.
Well,
it's 11:11 on the clock.
Yes, thank you.
Susan,
go ahead.
I was just going to tell Susan, Bonnie, I think, has my contact information, and I think there's a lot of information that you would, as a professional, that you would like to hear of things that have happened to me regarding the stuff that you said that I wouldn't necessarily want to elaborate on right this second, but I think that you would some of it would blow you out of the sky. And it's a story that needs to be told in some venue, and I'm not really sure where the appropriate place is, but maybe
write
this
it.
Is it.
Write it.
I've written most of it, but I can't write. I have written most of it. It's in a safe place on the web that I share with a very, very few number of people. So if you're willing to, if you're interested in reading it, I'll send Bonnie the link and you can have a read. But the end of the story is not published because it's too profound, and I only tell that by word of mouth.
Well, honey, we're so happy you called in. And anytime
you
want to share that story, thank you for calling in. And don't be a stranger to Tracy.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
y'all
you.
Have a good
welcome.
One. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to go jump right into the next caller because I don't know how long I'll be lasting. So 111, you are on with Susan.
You don't have much longer, honey.
I know. I'm trying to sit down the water. But hi. Okay. Well, we're going to then move to the next caller. 347, you are on with Bonnie and Susan. Hi. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Hello.
I'm good. Who are we speaking with?
Jackie.
Hi, Jackie. How can Susan and I, of course, I'm no good today, but how can Susan and I help you today? or maybe
just
Susan.
Anything you guys can pick up will be fine.
Well,
neither
one of us kind of works that way. We like a question. So if there's a question you'd like
About love life.
Okay. So do you, Susan, do you need? So what do you need? So what question would you like to ask?
How would I ask this question? What's going on between me and him? Because we have communication problems. And just kind of like what's in his space. because he's being a bit standoffish?
Yeah. You might not want to know what it's in his space, but Susan, what do you need to know from her?
Okay. I'm having trouble hearing her. Can you repeat what she
said? I'm going to try to answer. But what she wants to know is what's going on with her, this guy. He's kind of being standoffish to her. What is his? Can you give us his name? Because Susan's going to need his name.
Oh,
his
Michael.
And he's being standoffish, and she wants to know what the problem is.
Okay, you're going together. Is that what you're? But he's been kind of standoffish. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been together?
Well, we've known each other for a long time, but we're going to say more like a year.
Year? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, and how old are you? How old are you and how old is he?
Oh, we need to disclose all of that information?
We have to tap into your energy.
Okay.
If you want me to tap into
your
energy.
Okay, he's 27, I'm 27.
I'll tell you what, you know, I'm going to pass on this one, Bonnie. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, one is I'm not sure that you're telling us everything. I'm not feeling a good warm and fuzzy here, and I feel like you won't want to know what's in his space, but I think you already do, and I believe that you don't need either one of us to know what's going on, and I would hate to tell you on the air. So I am going to say goodbye because I don't feel like, Susan, I just felt like she wasn't telling us the truth. So I am going to, I took her off because if you can't call and you can't tell us the truth, then we're not going to be able to give you the answer. So I'm going to go to the next caller, 756. Are you with me, Susan?
Yes, I am, hon.
757. I kind of told her, but 757, oh. You are on with Bonnie and Susan.
Hi, Bonnie and Susan. This is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. How are you today?
Hi, Andrea.
I'm doing okay. Hi.
What can we help you with? Of course, if I'm not being too rude, insolent, and nasty. But, you know, sometimes that comes with the flu. So how can we help you?
Well, you see about I put up with that with about a New York minute.
Yeah, me too. Well, guess what? You know what's really funny? I got to tell everybody. This is probably horrible, but they finally gave you the delete button, like the X button. So if that happens, then I've never pressed it before, but I did it.
You made the button that goes.
Yeah, the button that takes you and goes, drops you down that pit. But okay.
Okay.
But don't tell anybody we did that. But hi.
What can we help you with today?
First of all, you have permission to go into my Akashic records. And okay. I need to know about this awful relationship between me and my mother.
Susan, let's do this because I'm going to ask you to call back on Monday because if she opens your Akashic records, it's going to take us past the 11 minutes we have. So can we answer it about your mom?
Yes.
Okay. So, sure. Susan, instead of going into the Akashic records, do you think we can answer about her relationship with her mother? Because I think that would take
less
time.
Sure. Your mom wouldn't come up in your Akashic records anyway.
Yeah.
Your Akashic records are just about you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up karmic imprints, okay? And so what I need to know is I need to know how old you are.
Okay, I'm 51.
And your mother's name?
Bertha.
What was it?
Bertha. Is it Bertha?
Bertha.
Big Bertha.
Well, I love that.
Oh, my God. That says it all. Okay. And how old is your mother?
She is 70.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm... Does it say I'm a healer in there? Because I know I am, but I just...
No, honey. Okay, when you say what's going on between you? Is it because you just don't get along, or because she's bossy, or because
she seems, as growing up, she seemed to dump a lot of her emotional baggage on me, and she I know some emotional abuse, and I was body shamed when I really didn't have a problem. I was just always bigger than other kids. Like, I grew really fast. I wasn't overweight, but my mother had me on diets from, like, age 8. Now I am overweight because it was told to me so much. It became a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Is your mother skinny?
She works at it. Yeah, she's not overweight.
Okay. All right. Well, the first thing that I pick up with both of you, okay, is the and this is what you call kind of a lopsided mirror image love. All right, she her love for you, all right, comes from a lot of past lives of being husband and wife versus mother and daughter. All right, and so her image of you is that you are an extension of her own self-worth and pride.
Yeah.
And she was like that with you when you were married. And so in this lifetime, both of you agreed and made the decision that maybe if you came in as a mother and daughter, that she would, both being female, that she would understand better the of your emotions and the effect that she had on you about her desire for perfection. Okay.
Yes.
But this is her first life as a female, and.
Okay.
A long time, and I'm sure you can probably see that too, of how she is. And Bonnie had asked at the beginning of what happens when you come in and you don't fix what you came in to fix.
Right.
You do it again.
Do it again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So
I'm trying to fix my part.
Yeah. She didn't quite get it, okay? But
no.
She did it out of complete love. I mean,
okay.
she just wanted the best for you, but most of it is out of her own insecurities, out of her own feelings that you are a direct reflection of her failures. And and your marriages were like that too. I see you being very high up in social status, royalty, and it's like, and somehow you always weren't good enough. You know, not the right wife, or not, you know, you weren't pretty enough, or something
That's
like that.
Right.
And so in this life, she thought you agreed that, so, well, with both of us will be females and we will understand, you know, what that feels like, and I'll carry the mother compassion for a child, and maybe we can start fixing this. And there you have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dan, that this is about, this is not about you.
It's about love.
This is about
right.
her. You know, this is about her insecurities and her trying to make right her views that perfection comes in physical packages. And, you know, it's interesting because almost every reading, that both Akashic Records were about physical packages, the physical body, the life. And once again, this is the same thing.
Isn't
and she didn't quite get
no.
it. But,
no.
But if you understand it and in that forgiveness and go, you know, just let me be happy with who I am. I mean, I'm your daughter. Just love me the way I am. And it's
right.
like if you can be in that energy, what you will do is that when you do this again, okay, and you two only know what role you're going to play. Maybe you get to be the mother the next time, and she gets to be the daughter. And to teach you what real unconditional acceptance is. Maybe you may be the mother. She may be born handicapped. Now, that's real unconditional acceptance. And maybe she needs to experience what it's like to feel it in order to be able to give it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and you have some relatives here with you too, so that as they're listening to Susan, they're shaking their head. Yes, I'm gonna say, and I don't know who it is because I see a big woman in spirit. So either this one is either your grandmother on your mom's side. What does she look like?
Yeah.
Is your mom?
Yes. Yes.
And
she was bigger. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Her name is Bertha, too.
Yeah, because she's shaking. Well, I'm not going to tell you what she's doing because I love it, but I don't want to put it on air. But you can imagine what she's doing. So what she's saying is that...
you going to mention it, honey?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
We fall the way we hit us. And she said, don't do that. And then Bonnie makes this dying on air.
I know. Well, you know, hey, that'll be a feat in itself because, you know, that's never been done on the show before. But your grandmother, if I is saying it's all about unconditional love. And that's a tough, it's a very tough concept for some people. Okay. And probably, you know, a lot of us. So what I'd love to see your grandmother's looking, and I think your grandmother had a good sense of humor. I think she was tough, good sense of humor is what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
But she's prancing around there, and she's in her Sunday clothes. So I don't know if you know what that is, but she's in her Sunday clothes. And she's saying it's all about unconditional, honey, and not everybody gets it. And so I feel like if you can even – understand that a little bit, and I think you do, and I feel like you've known this, that it softens up the blows between you and her. So,
sense of humor, yes. That. Thank you for bringing that up because she's absolutely right. Keep a sense of humor about this. To find the humor in what she's trying to accomplish. Like, come on, I mean, give me a break here.
Right.
And you know, shake your butt about around and say, you know, hi, I know you love me, and too bad, you know, because it will soften her up, is what you know your grandmother is saying, and she wants you to know that she's watching you, she's watching what's going on, and she'll be there. And I'm going to tell you what she said. She'll be there, and I'm assuming she likes to sing. Because she's singing here. Yeah, she's singing a song here about the Pearl Gates. So I'm going to tell you that she'll be meeting all of you up there. So that's what she's saying. And I don't use that term, so I know it's her. And she's showing me she's showing me a set of pearls. So I know why it's got to be that she's, you know, sung a song about the Pearl Gates or something. But what she's saying is, don't you worry about it. Keep on keeping on. So, meaning, you know, have a sense of humor because it's really all in love, and it's really about your mom having, you know, it's all about her that she can't really come to grips with unconditional love this lifetime. But if you soften her up, she will. And again, she's 70. So you want to make sure that you keep doing that because you never know how long we're going to live on this earth plane. We could be here till we're 150, but you never know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sense of humor with her. All right. Thank you. I've got 50 seconds left.
Thank you so much. Have
it's
a great
so well.
Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank
bye-bye.
You. Well, Susan, before you get off, I just want to thank you. I want to tell everybody tomorrow we've got Jerry Humphreys coming, if I can even stay on the air, so we're going to try it. But I want to thank you so much, Susan, because I don't think without you, I mean, I'd have had to cut it to 15 minutes. So I thank you for being the most wonderful. You're not even a guest. You're part of the show. So I want to thank
you
for being here.
What an,
You're so welcome.
An interesting show. I mean, it was
I know.
Just amazing, weren't they?
Oh, my. That's why I love being on the air like you do. You never know who's going to show up. And I really believe that Spirit brings everybody that needs the messages. So that's why I love this show so much. We have 3 seconds, and I want to thank you again, Susan. I will see you back here on Monday, but you know I'll be talking to you in a few minutes.
That's true. I feel better. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.